Would you bow your head and pray with me? God of heaven and earth, our Creator, we affirm that you revealed yourself in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, and that in him was all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and that you affirmed his reality by his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's what calls us to some crazy kind of love and sacrifice, because we believe that the world needs to know about this person in whom are hidden all the mysteries and the treasures of heaven and earth. And so as a church, this series has given us, Father, great opportunity to reaffirm our creed. Our creed is Christ. Our hope is in him. Our hope is in his death, his burial, and resurrection, that in it we transcend the fallenness of this world. And so this weekend, we pray that song gets reaffirmed in hearts and souls, not just for those who are baptized this weekend, but for those who have been, and that they relive that affirmation that their creed is Christ. And so thank you for the team leading us to this very special moment tonight with that song. And we give you all the praise always in Christ's character, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Have a seat. Have a seat. We are going to take up an offering. And again, if you're here and you're visiting, we do this because our church is utterly independent. No one else supports us. We are interdependent upon one another. And our church has really made a priority of reaching those who are far from God. Our mission is to help de-church skeptics live like Jesus forever. In essence, we're trying to turn atheists into missionaries. And it is a very challenging mission. But this series has given us just tremendous, tremendous opportunity to reaffirm why we believe that Jesus Christ is your hope, that in him are hidden all the mysteries of life. There is a song that was written by a man named Bernard of Clairvaux. And this song, some of you will remember, I keep this song on my phone. Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far thy face to see and in thy presence rest. Nor voice can sing, nor heart can frame, nor can the memory find a sweeter sound than thy blessed name, O Savior of mankind. And I love these words. O hope of every contrite heart, O joy of all the meek, to those who fall, how kind thou art, how good to those who seek. Maybe you have been seeking. I have the great privilege of getting to be a witness in front of a lot of people for the person of Jesus Christ. And I frequently get to tell my story. And I get to be reminded of these words, to those who fall, how kind thou art, how good to those who seek. Jesus, our only joy, be thou, our thou, as thou our prize wilt be. Jesus, be thou our glory now and through eternity. One of the things I had to grapple with as I started this series was I'm not objective when it comes to Jesus, because I was raised in a Christian home, although I still never met a family more dysfunctional than mine. I'm not kidding you. We did go to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. My wife found a picture in some scrapbook somewhere of I'm about 5 years of age at vacation Bible school with my friend Andy Nagy doing some project. And it just brought back that memory of you know, so many people say, I don't want to make my kids when they're little go to church because they might resent it. And I'll tell you, for every person who resents church because they went as a kid, I'll show you 25 who are here today because they did. Because that got planted in me. That this man Jesus is There's nothing like him, and that didn't keep me from falling away when I was in high school and college, and I abandoned the faith. I turned away, and I started seeking out other things. I was so angry. But I think because my mom and dad made sure that I was learning about Jesus growing up, in May of 1982, in utter desperation, I fell on my knees in my parents' basement, and I said, "Jesus, you win. I surrender." And I only had one prayer: make me your tool. Make me your instrument. Now, I know that make me your tool is kind of a shameful thing today, but back then it was actually a positive thing. And I just said, I want to be your instrument. I want to be used. And if you can use someone like me, and you are that someone like me, you are that someone like me. But I don't know if we're right about Jesus. But I can tell you this, there are things he saved me from. There's no way anyone else could have saved me. He saved me from never being at rest. He saved me from anger and hatred. He saved me from, I mentioned this a while back, that without Jesus, I would have been a perpetual adulterer. I just know me. I would have been. And Jude said, to him who can keep you from falling, to him be all glory and praise. How many of you can sit here tonight and know that without, but for the grace of Christ, and here we are on this special weekend in the Valley of Decision. For those of you who have never made a public declaration of Christ, this is your opportunity. And for those of you who have done it before, this is an opportunity to relive that. See, don't miss this opportunity to relive your commitment to Christ. Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, "This is what I have against you. You have abandoned your first love." He said, "You do a lot of good things, but you've lost the first love you had for me." And so maybe this weekend you get to relive your baptism. You get to relive that moment when you felt that cleansing. And recommit your life to the one who is before all things, and in him all things hold together, whether things in heaven or on earth, visible or invisible, thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things are made for him and by him. We have studied in this series John 14:6. John 14:6 is in the program. It says that one time Jesus stood up and he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I firmly believe that wasn't meant to be a statement of exclusivity. It was meant to be a statement of my atoning power is so great that anyone who gets to God will come through the means by which I have provided through my sacrificial atoning death. And I believe that more today than I did 32 years ago when I surrendered to that. And what we've done in this series is say, why is it that as a church we boldly but hopefully with humility proclaim there's a reason that Jesus is above the Dalai Lama and Buddha and Muhammad and Confucius and all other religious leaders in history? There's a reason. But one of the things today in what's called the new spirituality is we try to blend them all, and we actually try to reduce Jesus down. And so this series was Why Jesus? And we got this idea from a book written by Ravi Zacharias, Dr. Ravi Zacharias. And in that book, he writes these words. When Deepak Chopra opines that John 14:6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me," is nothing more than Jesus attaining God consciousness, which everyone can do on their own, one who is serious in the quest must ask, really? Really? Would the disciples have laid down their lives to support Jesus' claim that he had attained a certain status if all humanity can also attain such status on their own? What would be the reason for that? There would be nothing unique in that, nothing worth dying for. This is a sham and a shame to make such a pathetic distortion of the facts when it is clear why he died, and that his claim to be uniquely God was not only understood by his followers, but by his persecutors. And I read things like that and I go, yes. I read so that I can be reminded again, this person is above all and before all. And people have died for the claim that Jesus Christ is Lord, and are still dying to this day all over the world. So, here you are tonight. Listen to these words from the book of Titus in the New Testament. I love, 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 love these words that Titus writes so that we can understand. Let me call them up here on my little handy dandy phone. It wasn't so long ago that we ourselves were stupid and stubborn. I like the way he writes. Dupes of sin, ordered every which way by our glands, going around with a chip on our shoulder, hating, being hated and hating back. But when God, our kind and loving Savior God, stepped in, he saved us from all that. It was all his doing. We had nothing to do with it. He gave us a good bath, and we came out of it new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. Our Savior Jesus poured out new life so generously into us. God's gift has restored our relationship with him and given us back our lives. And there's more life to come, an eternity of life. And you can count on this. Those are from the Message translation of the New Testament. I love those words. Because that's the way those of us who surrendered, and I remember my baptism, March 10th, 1974, that sense of washing and cleansing that you're going to get to see, that symbolizes what Christ does. He is the divine scrubber. He comes in and he just washes you. And all of us need washing. All of us need a good bath. Do you remember when you were little and your mom said, it's Saturday night, time for a bath, you know? Time for a bath, and you needed a good scrubbing down. Because we all need washing, don't we? And baptism represents this washing and then this promise that you are perpetually being washed by the grace of Christ, by his amazing divine love. And that's why we're so passionate about what you're about to see in a few minutes. Because it represents what all humanity needs. We need washed in the life of Christ. We need to be immersed in him. You ever notice how a clean car drives better? Well, it doesn't, but it feels like it. And I think one of the reasons that God gave baptism is because he wanted us to physically experience what is going on spiritually, and that is you're washed constantly. And that will change your identity. That will obliterate your shame, which is the number one battle all of us face. When that reality begins to grow in you. Because you see, in May of 1982, the person who got on his knees was a very shame-based individual. But the person that is declaring as a witness to you tonight the work of Christ is one who wants to just tell the world how much that Christ loves every one of us. And I know for myself, I live that out every day, the amazing love of Christ. In the 1980s, New York City was riddled by crime. In the 90s, crime went down 56%. And one of the reasons is that Rudy Giuliani started attacking crime at the base level. Every single night in the subways of New York, they would clean the walls of graffiti. Every single night. And as there became more respect for the city, crime started plummeting. Now, there are other factors. But do you know what baptism is? Baptism is the ultimate statement of self-respect. I need washed. I'm worthy of the washing of Christ, not deserving. But I'm going to experience the graffiti of my life falling away so that I can begin to let Christ do the cleanup of my life. And I am here to testify to you that he will do just that. So we have your clothes for you. Those of you who have not signed up, no excuses. It's time to get dunked. It's 90 degrees, 90% humidity out there. The water is about 90 degrees out there. This is the opposite of the ice bucket challenge. I'm telling you, you got to feel that water. It is the polar opposite of the ice bucket challenge. And you will, I've done hundreds of baptisms. I've never had one person say, oh, I wish I didn't do that. It's always, I'm so glad I did that. I feel so clean. I feel so washed. And maybe you were baptized as an infant. That's great. Maybe you were baptized when you were really young and you barely remember it. I'm not sure if it counts if you can barely remember it. No, it does. But tonight, you can leave here with a sense that I've walked where Jesus walked in the waters of immersion and surrender. So the team's going to sing this song right now. It's a really cool song as we leave, called Lay Me Down. You can't even baptize yourself. You know that? It's not a humiliating act, but it is a humbling act. The only people here tonight who are excluded from what you're about to see are prideful people. That's it. Because someone lowers you into the water. You are in utter moment of vulnerability. And so I love this song because it's a fun song, but it is also this symbol of what you're to see, this humility that it takes to meet Christ as a child. So the team's going to sing this song, and we want to make sure that if you wanted the opportunity to, before the baptisms, to have a time to celebrate Christ in your life and his body and blood, because everyone's going to be going out, the communion symbols are in the atrium, and you can get those. You can bring them back in. You can go to a quiet place on your own for a few minutes if you need to do that. If you have children, please, 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 it'll be my head if you don't go get them right now, okay? So make sure you get your kids. But listen to this song. And then when you're ready, you can go out to the back, and we're going to lay them down and celebrate. Right, Southbrook? We're going to celebrate tonight. Yeah, let's listen.